College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, we'll be joined by Oklahoma head coach Porter Moser. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on all the popular podcast platforms. And send me your questions on Twitter. I'll answer them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And also go to collegehoopstoday.com for all the latest in college hoops with articles, podcasts, and much more. Plus, I want to let you know that today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being sponsored by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, we have an interesting thing happening now in college sports. Because one thing that can't be debated, as much as people who are such passionate college basketball fans and media people like myself debate, the SEC will always be a football-based conference. There is no denying that. However, I think we are seeing right now a renaissance of sorts in SEC men's basketball. And I think you're seeing that because of the way teams continue to upgrade their rosters in this conference during the offseason via the transfer portal. In just the last 7 days, Kentucky has added Xavier Wheeler. Auburn has added KD Johnson. Both those players came by way of Georgia. And Mississippi State has added Rocket Watts from Michigan State and Shaquille Moore from NC State. And the Bulldogs right now having as good of a spring as any team in college basketball via the transfer portal. In addition to landing Watson Moore, they have also added DJ Jeffries from Memphis and Garrison Brooks from North Carolina. 7 teams from the SEC are now ranked in the top 33 of my Rothstein 45 in terms of preseason rankings. That is half the conference. I know that every Saturday autumn in the SEC is going to revolve around the pigskin. But the SEC right now is more than just a football conference. And I'll say this. I'm not obviously in the pool yet after doing the deep dive and cannonball on who is going to play where next season because personnel continues to change because of immediate eligibility for transfers. But I'll say this. I am more intrigued with the SEC right now than any other conference entering next season in college basketball because the playing field has been leveled with immediate eligibility. Now, what about the Big 12 and what about Porter Moser going from Loyola Chicago, where he was revered after taking the Ramblers to the 2018 Final Four, to now going into the double round robin gamut that is the Big 12 conference with so many accomplished coaches and so many coaches who just like him have been in a Final Four. How will Porter Moser adapt to that challenge? We'll find out next when Porter Moser, the head coach of Oklahoma, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. One of the big moves of the coaching carousel was Porter Moser going from Loyola Chicago to Oklahoma. And the head coach of the Sooners now joins us on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And Porter, first off, how weird is it to be introduced as the head coach of Oklahoma and not the head coach of Loyola Chicago?
Well, anytime you're at a place, I was at Loyola for 10 years and just completely invested in the in that program, the trajectory. So change is always weird. I think I've talked to a couple of recruits, and I've called them and say, hey, this is Coach Moser, head coach at Loyola. I mean, Oklahoma. I mean, you for 10 years, you're invested. You have a habit of being there. So it wasn't – that part of it was a little different. But in terms of being introduced, it was just a ton of excitement. I mean, it was, you know, just – I've revered the Oklahoma program. I've been in the Big 12 before. I've seen it. It's had a national brand. It's had sustained success over decades. And, you know, I remember, you know, when I was in college, you know, the Billy Tubbs era and then Kelvin's era and then obviously Coach Kruger. And so it's just been something that that it was a lot of excitement being introduced as the head coach at Oklahoma.
Now, you had an incredible NCAA tournament run. Again, you went to the Sweet 16 for the second time in a short period at Loyola Chicago. After you lost the game in the Sweet 16 to Oregon State, how quickly did your mind shift to looking at other jobs?
Well, it was you know, my mind was just so messed up. I was so mad. I thought we were really good, and we couldn't hit a shot against that Oregon State zone. So I still think about that. But that was at the forefront. I just felt we had a team that could really advance. And so it was tough to swallow. You know, it was so consumed with our guys and our team in there. But it wasn't like it was going on so much. It was just, you had to just block it out. You know, it just seemed like there was a lot of jobs that opened up in that particular region, you know, at the same time. So I had to deal with it. You know, you had to deal with it. You lose the game and you're just messed up because of that. But you got to deal with this life changing thing that happens to you, you know, with the jobs. So, you just had to shift. I had to shift. It was, you still had to take your moment to grieve that your season was over with the guys and that you didn't advance. I had to deal with it. And it was something that, you know, it pretty much was immediate because it was going on during it. I just wouldn't partake in it because I wanted my team to have 110% of Porter Moser. So I had to block it out, but you couldn't block it out anymore. You know, you had to deal with it. So it was pretty much immediate right after that.
And this is nothing new for you to deal with. You've had other opportunities to go to higher level jobs the past couple of years. I'm curious though, why did Oklahoma feel right?
You know what? It was probably the times where I just spent talking philosophy and talking vision with Joe Castiglione, the athletic director, and just the people in the profession that talk about him, and he's been here 23 years, and the coaches stay here, and you know the how they wanted to build it the right way. You have a guy like Lon Kruger there, you know, you covet doing it the right way, and it was just probably that alignment, you know. And then what I think of, obviously, the Big 12 Conference, I just think it's one of the premier conferences, if not the premier conference in the country. I mean, you know, 70% of the teams went to the tournament last year. That's the most of any conference. It's sustained success across the boards. I mean, look at all the sports that have had success and sustain it. And it was just a lot of things that all of a sudden just aligned. But it probably started with just that, with the athletic director, Joe, and then moving forward from the opportunity and ability to win a national championship. I mean, I think all the sports here feel that. They're given the resources that you can do that here at Oklahoma.
Oklahoma head coach Porter Moser joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Now, taking Oklahoma for all the reasons that you just named is an easy thing to do because it's such a great opportunity. What was it like telling your team at Loyola that you were leaving?
So you'd think it was easy, like, because of all those things, but it's still really, I was on the fence because of what we had at Loyola. I had an amazing alignment there with our athletic director, Steve Watson, and the administration and the players, the families. I mean, you start talking about not only your current players, but your former players. You build a family of former players' parents that when you're at a place for 10 years and you've had the success we had. So that's not easy to walk away from because it's so close. And it just, you have to get to the point where you're just like, you know what, that'll never change. Those relationships, those family, those people are, you know, those my former players there are family. And that'll never change. It's just a new venture for me and my family and to come here. And And we felt, I felt after the Final Four, they were so loyal at Loyola that I just didn't want to leave. There was something about me that was driving me inside that wanted to do it again, that didn't, you know, just want, didn't want to. And that's one of the reasons why I stayed. And it just felt that this was the time. This was the time to go into a league like the Big 12, and especially the school is as good as Oklahoma. It was just felt the time, but it's not easy. Anytime you invest in something, John,
yeah,
the more you invest, the harder it is to give up. And I just invested everything we had in that. It was just hard to give up. But this made it easier. It doesn't mean that anything, but like this opportunity was, it was the right time for me.
Now, I know that you had a great life in Chicago. You know, you were a regular at the Cubs games. You know, you had a great house. Your kids were happy. Your family was happy. What was the dialogue like in the Mosier house when you were thinking about leaving that great life and a great job at Loyola where you could have been the coach forever?
You know, I'm so, so blessed. I got a great support system. My wife, Megan, has been in this profession 25. We've been together 25, 30 years. My four kids, my daughter is actually a walk-on in the women's the team at Loyola. And then my three sons, I had a boy graduating from high school and then two others, one that was going to be a junior and one that's going to be a freshman. So I'm very lucky that we've just been such a collaborating family of six that they were just like, Dad, you've worked so hard. If this is what you want, let's roll with it. And it was it was all supportive. It was nothing like, Dad, I'm going to lock myself in the room and not come out if you take this job. It wasn't anything like that. It was just, we talked through it the first time and we decided to stay, and they're like, all right, let's go. And then this time we talked through it and they're like, Dad, I think they felt that this time around, it was the time. So, just like any coach will tell you, you know, your family is such a huge part of your success because that support, is that unconditional support is just so huge in what we do.
Well, now you go to a league, as you mentioned, the Big 12, arguably the best conference in college basketball, double round robin format, six Final Four coaches, including yourself. What is it like as a coach to compete at that level in that type of a league?
Well, it's the best. It's the best of the best, like you said. I mean, it's night in and night out. It's a true round robin, which I love. I know people say it's the Big 12, it's 10 teams, and it's a true round robin. And you talk about 7 out of 10 teams and that. So it's going to be – it's the best of the best, and I'm looking forward to it. The transfer portal was crazy. I mean, we really, truly inherited four players and from the team. So we're starting from scratch. You have to bring a lot of guys that you really – I haven't met yet. Mm-hmm. Because with all the conditions going on, not being able to, you know, leave campus for recruiting. So here in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to pretty much meet three quarters of my team for the first time. Now, we've built relationships through Zoom, through all that, but it's just a different dynamic. But I'm excited that of the pieces that we put together in the last 50 days. You know, I just think we've put together some things that really, some young men that I think have, so you know, the talent, the tangibles, the drive, and so I can't wait to start working out as a team. We did some individual skill workouts with the four guys that were here, but I can't wait to dive in here in the next couple of weeks and get all these guys here. But understanding that it's, you know, it's night in, night out. Baylor, Kansas, Texas Tech, Texas every night. Oklahoma State every night, and it's, but that's what you want. That's what you want, to be in that situation where you're playing in a league like that. And you know this, John, you and I have had many interviews over the years. And one of the hot topics that I'm always asked about is scheduling.
Yes.
You know, and I haven't been asked about that at Oklahoma because the schedule is almost it's on the other side. I mean, we got 18 Big 12 games. We got a Big 12 tournament. We got the SEC Big 12 Challenge. We got the Big East Big 12 Challenge. We got Florida on a home and home. We got Arkansas on a 4-year deal in Tulsa. We got some of the biggest MTE tournaments the next 3 years. So, but at Loyola, my first question is, can you get a schedule to get yourself into the NCAA tournament? And the answer was always no. It was always the hot question. So that we don't have. Now it's on the other side. My schedule is actually loaded.
Well, that brings me to an interesting point that I was thinking about earlier, because your former assistant now, Drew Valentine, is the head coach at Loyola. Would you ever, under any circumstance, go back to Chicago and play the Ramblers?
Now, that has been a question I was asked by the Chicago media a lot. And, you know, the question is, you know, maybe, you know, for, I will someday. You know, not until the players that I was part of recruiting are there. That's always hard. You know, you don't want to go face players you're always recruiting. But you know what? I just think that there's somebody that's going to be an opportunity for a great setup there to play. And I'm open to that. And I just think that's you know, it's funny because, John, because I was always on the other end going, man, why won't these Power Fives play me at home? And I always said this, though. I said, I get it. It's just hard to do. And now I'm on this side. But I think the biggest dynamic is going back to players that you recruited. You know, I just think that's always tough. Because I'm going to have an eye on those guys. I mean, Drew and London and Patrick, who stayed there, were on my staff. Those guys are family. You know, I want Drew to have so much success. And so it's always tough playing former assistants. It was like Brian Mullins at Southern Illinois. Those were miserable games because you're so close. I mean, close with him, and you want to see him have success. And that's a tough dynamic, is having a former assistant in the same league.
Oklahoma head coach Porter Moser joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, you're in the process now of getting acclimated to the Norman community. And one thing that I noticed when I was out in Norman a couple of years ago going to an Oklahoma practice, I thought that was so cool, is Coach Kruger kept practice open for the public each and every day, and it was a way for him to connect with the community. Once we obviously get to the other side for good of this pandemic, is that something that you'll look to entertain again?
You know, John, I've been asked that a million times about the people here, and I thought that was something that Coach did to the community here. We're definitely going to do it every day. I don't know if it's going to be every day, but we're definitely going to have open practices for people to come in. But, you know, Coach did it every single day. And I can imagine one of my mentors, Rick Majerus, having open practices every day. He would have barked at some of those guys every 2 seconds because he likes total quiet in his classroom, you know, doing it. And I always liked doing it too. We had open practices at Loyola, but they were designed and specifically set up because I like the distraction. You know, I like sometimes the guys have to practice and focus with the distraction of people around there. So we'll definitely have it open, but every single day, that was something special. I don't think I've ever heard that before, that they did it here every day, and they loved it. It's just we'll find a great balance with having some open ones for the community.
Porter, what's the biggest thing you've learned about the Oklahoma job now that you didn't know prior to taking it?
The biggest thing I didn't know? There's so many things that I knew going in, you know. You can't really get a feel until you're here of how incredibly welcoming Norman, Oklahoma, and the people of Oklahoma are. Like that was probably the thing. It's just the fan base, the feeling, you know, the energy here is just, you know, as much as you think you know it, oh yeah, it's going to be, they're going to be friendly and everything. It's been overwhelming how welcoming this community is. It's a special place. And that is something that once you get here and you see it, you know, I couldn't believe, like, I went to the spring game and just the energy around walking out and the fan base and how so many people just come up and are genuinely just, you know, friendly and excited for you and for the program and how passionate they are about OU sports. And that has been something. The other thing I think is pretty cool that I must be geographically ignorant from being in Chicago so long, like not having seen it, but I didn't realize how close Oklahoma City was to Norman. I love that. It's like 23 minutes away. You have a thriving metropolitan area right there. You know, an NBA city, an airport to go in and out of, the different things that a metropolitan area offers. And I think we got the best of both worlds. We got an unbelievable college community of Norman, and then you got Oklahoma City. It's just really, truly like 23 minutes away.
Well, you know, at Loyola Chicago, you were known, obviously, for your elite defense, for your ability to take good shots, and obviously your ability to always kind of take your opponents out of what they wanted to do. What will the identity look like of your teams now at Oklahoma?
Well, being connected on both ends, I think that was one of the things. I know people talked about our defense this year, but we've been in the top 10 in offensive efficiency 3 out of the last 4 years. And, you know, but it's an intentional recruiting. I'm trying to recruit guys that can all have point guard abilities, that can, you know, pass dribble and shoot, you know, and that takes time to build your roster that way. But I hope people look at it and say, man, they're really connected. They play their tails off. They play the right way. You know, obviously believe in defense wins and you have that, but I love the pace and the spacing of offense that we've been able to do. To do some different things. And, you know, I'm always also on a philosophy of sometimes people think that kids can't handle a lot, you know, but I you know, our guys at Loyola, man, we ran a lot of different stuff. And I'm looking forward to just doing some things. You know, we got a big man. We've had obviously one of the best big men in the country in Cameron Crutwick the past few years. And it was fun doing a lot of stuff with him, with five out, with bringing him out on the perimeter and take advantage of his passing ability and all that. And I think right away we signed Tanner Groves, you know, from Eastern Washington. And I'm really looking forward to he can do some similar stuff in terms of the coming five out, pass the way he passes. And he also can stretch his shooting it. So, but understand that the defense in this league is off the charts. I mean, Kansas has done it for years. I mean, Chris Beard, you look at Baylor's defensively. This league is one of the most elite defensive leagues in the country. So you're going to have some guys that shoot it, to do some things offensively, but it's a massive, massive defensive, physical brand of basketball in this league.
No, it definitely is. And I know that you're still obviously learning your personnel individually on a personal basis. Do you have any other impressions of the roster and the pieces that you have inherited or brought in yet?
Well, we brought in three guards that, you know, Elijah Harkless and Mo Gibson, played some good minutes. I mean, Elijah started. Mo had some great moments last year. Both those guys, I'm counting on. They've been great in the workouts. Jalen Hill is a young man from Las Vegas. He's had just an unbelievable attitude working. He's going to have an expanded role this year, hopefully. So he was in the workouts. And then the fourth was Rick Asanza. He's a 7'1" player. He hasn't really played in his career yet. But he is 7'1". He's learning. He's trying to get better. But the three guards of mentality has been great. I mean, I think they're all looking forward to a more expanded role. I think they're all just, you know, it's hard for young guys to come in for a coach that didn't recruit you. And the transfer portal makes it so easy. So we had so many guys that right when coach announced his retirement, put their name in the transfer portal. These guys didn't and appreciate that. And they came with their hard hats ready to work. And, we, you know, it's not like you can do a lot 5-on-5 with three guards, but we did a ton of skill development stuff, just poured into that skill development piece the last 3 weeks of individuals that we were allowed to do. And just loved the way the character of those three and the attitudes and their work ethic.
Well, and part of the way, too, you restock your roster is by having a great staff. And you've put together a phenomenal staff, you know, two guys who were associate head coaches last year at Texas and Arkansas, respectively, and KT Turner and David Patrick, and also Emmanuel Dildy from Northwestern, who had worked for you in the past at Loyola Chicago. You know, we're seeing now, Porter, in my opinion, a great divide between power conferences and non-power conferences. And a perfect example is the resources that we're seeing schools put into having a great staff, because now you are putting a situation out there where it's a better monetary move for a lot of guys to be high-level power conference assistant coaches than it is to be mid-major head coaches. How important, when you're trying to build a staff in the Big 12 and build a program in the Big 12, is retaining a staff on a regular basis?
That's huge. And, you know, anybody that tells you differently, like when you're starting to go, you ask about the process, like how fast did you talk about, or, you know, after you lost to Oregon State, did you shift to coach the job search? One of the first things when you're looking at a job is you're compartmentalizing who are you going into there with your staff. That's done way before. Like, it's not like, oh, I accept the job now, let me think about who I'm going to hire. No, that process is. So I had a vision that I discussed with Joe of what I thought maybe could happen, you know, going through it, you know, you appreciate the commitment of the university to do that. But I want guys that want to be head coaches. I feel like I've for someone who didn't come through a blue blood, I have five assistant coaches that are Division I head coaches right now. I have another handful of guys that are in Power Five. I love hiring guys that I believe can be head coaches, that their energy level, that they just not one-dimensional guys. I want, You know, I want these guys to be on the floor. I want them to be recruiting. I want them to be in the community. I want them to be, you know, to understand all the dynamics that goes in between a head coach. And the financial piece is something that, you know, this profession is tough at that age. Do you take a low to mid Division I job to be a head coach, but you're going to take a pay cut?
Right.
There's some of these Power 5 assistants are going to take a pay cut to go be a low to mid Division I head coach. But the opportunity to become that, it's really hard in a profession because of the transfer portal, because of the net, and some of these leagues, they're just one bid leagues, and the pressure to get to the NCAA tournament, that's real. And, you know, it's tough coming up because you got families. Guys are, you start to get into that upper 30s to where you all of a sudden have kids that are, you know, starting to be in school and the expenses are mounting. Do you take a pay cut to go be a head coach with kids and mouths to feed with the what mount? These Power 5 schools are paying their assistants. So it's a tough dynamic, but we had a grand slam. I couldn't be happier with David Patrick, KT Turner, Emmanuel Dildy. I brought Matt Gordon with me, who has been with me 17 years. Clay Custer was the point guard on the Final Four team's player development. Mike Shepard was then the ops guy here for 10 years. We got a great strength coach in Bryce Dobb, who's been at Oregon, been here. So just blessed that you can get the resources to put a staff together like that. And these guys are all, you know, really excited to work with them to win big here.
Well, that means you got the infrastructure in place. And that means obviously you're going to have to do the same with your players and your personnel. But final thing, Porter, for me, I know you're still trying to figure out your team. And so are a lot of other coaches in college basketball. What are the biggest things you want to accomplish in your first year at Oklahoma?
You know, it's not even the first year. It's like the process. It's I really want to be completely intentional with this process. And the first part, John, is this process is coming together. You know, you got to come together. You got to build some trust. You got to build a team. And we're coming together with, you know, so I've gotten to know these four, but we're going to have 9 new guys integrating with them. So what I want to accomplish is I want to be so intentional with the process. This summer, this June, July, and August is going to be huge. Coming together, building that culture, building that camaraderie, that trust. And that's obviously anybody that says they don't want to get to the NCAA tournament, they don't want to win big their first year. I mean, of course. I mean, I want to get to the NCAA tournament. I want to advance. It's one of the reasons why I'm here. It's probably a huge reason why I'm here is I believe I'm at a place where you can get in consistently and advanced to win it all. And so of course that's what I want to accomplish in the first year, but you can't skip that. I'm so intentionally focused on June, July, and August with these guys. And I'm just looking forward to that part of the process.
Well, Porter, we appreciate a couple minutes, man. Happy for your success. Congratulations on the job. Know how busy you are, and let's stay connected as always.
Absolutely, John. Take care, man.
We'd like to thank Oklahoma head coach Porter Moser for joining the College Hoops Day podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you, subscribe to the College Hoops Day podcast with John Rothstein on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on all the popular podcast platforms, and also go to collegehoopstoday.com for articles, podcasts, and much more each and every day on college basketball. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question comes from CB1 The Fiend, and it's, John, how good will Auburn be next season? Well, I believe right now, and I was just talking about the SEC earlier, that Auburn right now would be my team to beat in the SEC entering next year. As good of a 3-4-5 as you're going to see in college basketball with Flanagan, Kessler, and of course Jabari Smith. Coming up next, it will be Cade Campbell, and it's, John, what is the ceiling of Mississippi State after all the new transfers this offseason? Mississippi State, in my opinion, should aim to be an NCAA tournament team next year and aim to finish in the top four of the SEC. When I look at the SEC, I see Auburn, Alabama, and Arkansas right now as the teams I would pick 1, 2, 3. But I think 1 through 7, very close, very competitive. Those three teams, Kentucky, Tennessee, LSU, and Mississippi State, all very, very good teams. And our final question comes from Eat My Shorts Spurts, and it's, John, where does Illinois go next? What are you going to see of the Illini next season? I think Illinois will be solid. I don't know if they'll be spectacular. Andre Curbelo, to me, is an All-American candidate as a sophomore. There are good role players back with Grandison, with Demonte Williams. The Illini have done nicely in the transfer portal, but not easy to replace players the caliber of Ayo Dosunmu and Kofi Coburn. And five good nuggets this week are being brought to you by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's Geico. Now, let's get to those nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
But you were close.
Nugget number one, heavyweight doubleheader. According to a source, Villanova is going to play Tennessee and Purdue will face North Carolina in the first round of the Hall of Fame tip-off at Mohegan Sun next November. That is a dynamite early season tournament. Those four teams ranked in my top 25, Villanova and Purdue in the top 10. Nugget number two, quack, quack. Oregon, to me, looks like the Pac-12's second-best team behind UCLA after the addition of Syracuse transfer Quincy Guerrier. Now you're seeing Guerrier along with Will Richardson, Davion Harmon, Eric Williams, Frank Kepnang. Oregon, to me, the top challenger for UCLA in the Pac-12. Nugget number three, Patino's push. Iona very quietly this season has added three transfers from power conferences, Quinn Slezinski from Louisville, Tyson Jolly from SMU, and Elijah Joyner from Tulsa. Under Rick Pitino, as expected, Iona, one of the mid-majors to watch in college basketball. Nugget number four, Rock Chalk point guard, a big addition for Kansas, adding Arizona State transfer Remy Martin last week. With Martin and David McCormick at 1-5, Kansas to me looks like the preseason favorite in the Big 12. And nugget number five, I want to chime in on this Louisville situation. Louisville assistant, former Wake Forest head coach Dino Gaudio, charged last week with federal extortion. He obviously was told after the season by his boss and longtime friend Chris Mack that he was not going to be retained as an assistant at Louisville. Chris Mack taped the conversation and obviously turned it over to Louisville's administration. Just want to say how crazy this story is, and more importantly, how sad this story is. These are two men, obviously, who vacationed together, who were close friends for 30 years, roughly, and to see this type of event happen and terminate their relationship is a very, very sad deal. Obviously, there were some things that Louisville was doing that was not, obviously, completely in between the lines as far as the rules go. Dino Gaudio threatened, obviously, to report those if he was not going to be compensated for further. But just a very, very sad, bizarre situation and a very unfortunate end to a long-term relationship between two guys who are lifers in the coaching business. Would like to thank Oklahoma head coach Porter Moser for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.